How many of you would want to trade places with Job? I wouldn't want to trade places with him. And he definitely went through some trials. There's 42 chapters in the book of Job, and many believe that that's symbolic of the tribulation period and coming in the book of Revelation and the weeks there. Definitely Job was going through a trial in his life, and definitely was the trial of his life. We always will not get an explanation of why God may let us go through some things. And seemingly sometimes you think that the wicked have no problems and no difficulties and no hurdles, and while the righteous seem to just every turn sometimes suffer and sometimes great difficulty. The Bible does say in Matthew 5:45 that he may be the children, your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And so God's never promised us no rainy days. And God's never promised no difficulties. God's never promised us that trials and tribulation would not come to our life and to our soul and things that are very difficult in life. God's never promised us that. But he has promised us grace sufficient. He has promised us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He has promised us that greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. He has promised us in this situation where the devil literally had his hand on Job. I mean, boy, oh boy. I mean, you couldn't get much more trial that we're going to read about in a moment of things that the devil was allowed to take from Job. But yet Job maintained his faith and trust in God. And so the devil was not, he was on the outside, but he was not on the inside. Thank God. Amen. And so the devil sometimes, he may work us over. And I like the story of the lady, you know, who she just loved the Lord. And she had a hard time in life. And the mayor was a lost atheist. And he knew she was a lady that professed God. And yet he saw her in such need. He saw her by herself and saw her trying to take care of herself. And he knew that she had needs. And one of them was, you know, he decided, you know, I'm going to go take that lady groceries one morning. So he knocked on the door. And she wasn't in the kitchen, so he just opened the door and shut the door, put the groceries on the table, shut the door. And just as he was leaving, he heard this lady come in, looked at the grocery, and she just gave God a real spell. She just thanked God for those groceries, and then he tapped on the door, and he opened the door, and he said, God didn't give you those groceries, I gave you those groceries. And she said, Lord, thank you, even if you used the devil to bring them. You know, and so, you know, we don't know. We don't know what we may go through in life before this thing is over. But Job made a conscious decision in this chapter. And by the way, we know in the end, we know that God had a reason for all this. But he was not cluing Job in on it. He was not telling Job about it. And I just want you to know, God didn't say he's always going to clue us in on everything. That's where faith comes in, to trust him. That he has a way for us to travel and a will for us to be in. And Job just made a conscious decision that he was going to trust God in that. Like the guy that lost something very, very, very valuable to him. It just tore him up. And he couldn't figure out why he lost it. And time passed and he begged God. He said, God, I'm either going to believe the Bible, that you're going to take care of me, or I'm just going to discard you. What am I going to do? And he said, I'm just going to go by the word of God. I'm going to trust you, even though that valuable thing has been taken out of my life. And later on, somebody found it, brought it back, with just as intact, just as everything was there. And then he looked up to heaven and he said, God, I'm glad I didn't say anything foolish. Well, now it was gone, you know. And so he was so grateful about that. He just decided, he made a conscious decision. I'm just going to trust God in this trial. I don't understand how or why. I'm just going to trust God in it. We also tend to think, I think, in life that when we do right, that no wrong will come our way. That somehow God owes us. And that it can't happen to us. But God didn't say that. He just promised to be with us. And grace to take us through as we look to him. God does not, as I mentioned, does not always choose to explain his reasoning. I do believe that some things won't be explained till heaven. But I believe, just a moment in heaven, with all my heart, that you'll understand and the understanding will come and we'll have a reason for what happened to us. I believe that we'll be grateful. You know, our minds are kind of limited to what goes on, really, what we can see, especially compared to God's ways. So we have to trust Him in those ways. James 5:1 says this about Job. He says, "You have heard of the patience of Job?" And that's what we're going to look into. Stand with me, please. In our text, though, we'll go back and pick up a few things in this first chapter on the story of Job. Our text, we've chose verse 21 of this chapter. Verse 20 and 21. After Job lost everything, it says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and" what? Worshipped. This is after a great tragedy. This man now sits in great agony of soul and mind and spirit, and he worships God and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, tonight we ask for your help as we talk and discuss and look into this great man's testimony that you've recorded for a reason. 42 chapters about one individual, the most in the Bible ever written about somebody. And God, a time when in life they knew a lot less than what we know this very day about you and about your word. God, we pray today that you'd help us and help us to look to you as sufficient and your grace and trust you through whatever comes our way. And so we ask for your help. As only you can give and grant. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. First of all, you may be seated. If you go back to verse 1, we find that Job had a testimony. And God recorded this testimony about him. Hey, may we all have a testimony. How about a hearty amen? And you can have a testimony when the sun's out. And you can have a testimony when the sun's not shining. To be honest, some of my heroes are people who've been just beat up. And they got up. Some of my greatest. By the way, this day, this very day, standing just right here, I have people, I have friends, and even in our church, that are getting beat up right now and standing strong for God. I just want you to know that's encouraging. Amen? We know that of people. How many of you have a friend that's living for God and just getting hammered? Can I just see your hand? Look around, folks, and we thank God for people that stand underneath adversity. And sometimes it's not a day, and it's not a week, it's not a month. Sometimes these are life things that they don't go away. We've talked to many a lady. Miss Frida's back there. I remember talking to Miss Frida, and really, Miss Frida, you're probably up there among the heroes, because you know. When somebody puts you in a nursing home and you're there and you have to face all those things, that's a difficult time of life. I just talked to a lady just last week going through the very same thing that Miss Frieda is going through. And she decided she's going to trust God in it. And she said, "Preacher," she said, "I want you to see my Bible." And she said, "You've only known me when I've been sick. You've not known me when there was a day that I had a healthy body. There was a day that I served God and I was in church." And she said, "I want you to look at my Bible." You know, and I began to open her Bible and I looked there and there was Monty Watts' signature. I remember Brother Monty Watts. There was Jack Hyles' signature. Hey, there was John Powell's signature. Any of you know John Powell that used to pastor Rymer Road over in Wadsworth, Ohio? Can I see your hand? No, there was John Powell's signature. There was Pastor Bruce Cummins' signature. I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, man, alive. And I listed about five more people that I knew in there, in her Bible that she's, my name wasn't in there though. I didn't need to put that in there. And you know, that she had Penn back there. And I'm thinking, you know, this lady, somewhere along the line, she was a faithful lady of God when she had strength and health serving God. Now she's had everything. They just sold everything from her home. She doesn't know what they're going to do with it. And she's in a nursing home. And guess what? She just decided she's just going to trust God in the nursing home. Sitting there, you know what? She said this to me. She said, all I asked for was a TV. They haven't even brought me a TV. I had 3 TVs. I can't even get 1 TV. I don't even like TV, but it made me want to go out and get her a TV, you know, just on behalf of that, you know. It's just, you know, when your property has been gone and sold or taken from you, and just, it's a tough time of life. And she decided she's going to have a testimony. And, she was looking for, you know what she got out? She got out the chart of what's going on. Where's Brother Jay tonight? Brother Jay, you know what she showed me? She can't wait. She said, I see Calvary coming to our nursing home, and I can't wait to be in the service. She got her list. She's looking for something. She's planning on being there. And, you know, I thank the Lord for a testimony in adversity and in difficult time. Job had that. In verse 1, God said this about him. He says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. The man was perfect. That word perfect carries the idea of being mature, of being upright, growing in the things of God. It carries that idea. And it says an upright and one that feared God. When we fear God, we have reverence. We have respect. We're going to talk Wednesday night. We're going to talk about a contrast between a person that feared God in church and a person that did not fear God in church. And the different qualities that they had that is very interesting. But I'm telling you, true fear of God is a very valuable characteristic for us as Christians to have. And Job had that. He had a respect for God, an honor for God, feared God, and eschewed evil. We don't use that word. I can't think of the last time I've used it in my sentence too much structure, but I look it up. What it means is it means to turn away from, withdraw from evil. It means to decline it, to hate it, to say no to it. It means this. It means to be a lover of righteousness. And I thought, well, you know, I may not use the word a lot, but I sure like it. I like what it means. And I find that it's wonderful to get around somebody that loves God's way and God's word and God's will and God's righteousness in life. It's a pleasant thing to get around. How many enjoy fellowship with somebody that they're not looking forward to going out and getting drunk? They're not looking forward to go out and having a joint. They're not looking forward to doing some immorality. They're looking forward to learning about the things of God, growing in the things of God. It's wonderful to get around and talk to somebody that has an interest in the things of God. Isn't it interesting? You just about in the world, you can talk to them about anything there is. But how many conversations can you have about faith and the things of God and be a serious conversation? You're thankful for that. Job had that about him. He wanted to focus and live his life for God. He had that wonderful testimony. And God gave him wonderful family in verse 2 there. It says, and there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Hey, ladies, when's the last time you had 10 children? That's pretty commendable, isn't it? I mean, 10 children, that's a big family. And think of that supper table. And you know, just a wonderful, she had a wonderful testimony, and Job had a wonderful testimony, and Job prayed for his. If we read on, we'll see that Job prayed for his children every day. You know, and I've been convicted that there's times I'm praying for other people, and I'm thinking about, you know, I've been praying here before, and I'm thinking, you know, when's the last time you called your own children to God, asked God to intervene? You ever felt convicted about that? That sometimes we neglect some of the ones, or maybe have lost ones, and we know they're lost, but we don't even pray for them. We don't even try to intervene in behalf of heaven to send somebody by. And I can remember begging God, especially when first saved, begging God, listen, Some people live far away. Would you send a witness by? You know, we've had family members say this. They accused me of this. They said, and they said, you sent that person by. They happened to be out of a Baptist church. And, I didn't send them by. The only way I send them by, not that I wouldn't send them by. I have done that as well. But God, through prayers, had somebody they worked with, somebody in their same town, and somebody that just cold turkey knocked on the door happened to be their door. I think that's interesting. And they heard similar things that we would have told them. And thinking now, who I know who's behind this, you know. And I'll tell you who was behind, God was behind it. In answer to prayer, praying for the Lord, praying for some of your family. Pray. There's many times people say, you know, would you pray for my son or my daughter? They live, you know, states away, and pray that God would send somebody by. Or we've had people call the church and say, listen, I have loved ones in this community. Do you know of any good church? And we usually would try to get a hold of the pastor. I call the pastor, find out, you know, what he's made up of. And then if it's a good church and a good Bible-believing church, ask him, would you go see these folks? And we had a family member. They told me, they said their brother died in West Virginia. And what I prayed, you know, I prayed about it. And I said, you know, I'm just going to call up a preacher friend. I'm going to ask him to go by and see that family. And I called him up, and he said, sure, I'll do that. He said, matter of fact, I have a funeral just before that funeral at the very same funeral home that he's going to be buried at that day. Hey, let me ask you a question. What's the odds of that? I think God was in that, amen? And many of you know, how many of you know Brother Hill? He does the missionary, he does the children's work during missionary trainings. Or Brother Hall. Anybody remember him? Some young people. He was the pastor there in West Virginia that I called. And I just appreciate that. Well, Job, we can see, is all I'm saying is Job was a great man of God. Had a lot of things going. God even bragged on him. But some reason, the devil was after Job. And he was going to and fro on the earth. And he was looking. And, like he was accusing, there's nobody that loved God. That really, God was just favoring people. And God talked to Job, or God talked to the devil about Job. And the devil said, you got a hedge about him. How many are thankful for a hedge about you? Now, I believe that hedge, you have to get to heaven to find out what it is. I believe it's a hedge, head of angels. And I plan on working mine hard until the grave. Yeah, I mean, I hope when I die, they get a break. And they know, you know, they say, man, I'm glad, because I want to keep them busy. I want to keep them filling in all those little cracks and crannies around me until I get out of this place. How many feel that way? Amen? And so, you know, God had protection around him, but God allowed, for some reason, God allowed that hedge of protection and allowed the devil to move in that thing, and he started bringing havoc to this great man of God. You know, sometimes people think when, you know, problems come that you can't be a man or a woman of God because you're having difficulty. Well, if you were just right with God, you'd have difficulty. The answer was Job right with God? I mean, as a whole, I would say we'd say yes, amen. He was a man right with God, and yet he had difficulty. What was this difficulty? Well, he's praying. He's intervening, and look what's going on in verse 16. While he was yet speaking, now who is speaking is a servant that escaped problems came to him and told him, he said, you know, that your sheep were killed and the servants were killed and I alone, I'm the only one escaped. In verse 16, while he was yet speaking. So here you got a servant telling him what's going on. He says, then came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Now verse 17, he's still talking. What's it say? While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels. Now, what, they didn't kill the camels, they took the camels and have carried them away and slain the servants. You know, we don't want to just, it wasn't just Job that died in all this, or that was going under trial. Imagine the servants. And then, so you got one standing there. Another comes up while he was speaking. Before he's even done, another one gets in line. And you got the same thing in verse 18. While he was yet speaking. And what this is really, it seems like to me that it's increasing in difficulty. Who hurt you the most if somebody was going to die? Somebody tell me who would be the person that would hurt you the most. Just throw out somebody. Your children, your spouse, they would hurt you the most. Look at this. In verse 18, while I was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I am only escaped alone to tell of thee. And now Job's response is going to be, it was our text. He's going to worship God. That's going to be his response. And you talk about a testimony. That is some testimony. What we're seeing here tonight, we're seeing what Job was made out of. We're seeing the inside of Job. A guy named A.W. Tozer. Anybody ever hear him? Old preacher, A.W. Tozer. Here's what he said. He said, you want to know about somebody? Find out these things, and I'll tell you the inside of somebody. What we want most. What do we want most? Find out what somebody wants most. Number two is this, what we think about most. Number three is this, how we use our money. If you want to know about somebody, find out what they want most, what they think about most, how they use their money. Number four, what they do in their leisure time. Number five, the company they enjoy. Number six, who they admire. And number seven was what they laugh at. If you want to know what somebody's made out of, find out those things and you'll know the inside of somebody. I think that's pretty good analogy. What am I saying? I'm just saying tonight that Job has a great testimony. We see his priorities in this chapter and we see what he's made of. We know what his stuffings are. We can see that. He has great character. Bible in Psalms 97:10 says this, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Hebrews 1:9 says this, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. We see this about God's people, that there ought to be a real hatred for sin. So we have Job's testimony. We have Job's trial that we read about in verses 16 through 18. These great depths of difficulty that he went through. And then, you know, as he lost his belongings, material things, as he lost his financial things, as he lost his children, his loved ones. Then comes his wife, and you see in chapter 2, verse 9. And you got to admit, ladies, if you lost all those things, you might not be in the best of mood either. And all the lady would say, she too didn't realize it, but the devil was using her to even add more harm and hurt onto Job when the last person alive that he had, that had his heart, came up to him in verse 9 said this, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. You realize the pressure on his heart that must have been to him. There was a gentleman, November 8th, him and his wife. His name, he was a pastor. His name is Scott Willis. And his wife is Janet. They have 9 children. On November 8th, they were driving. They were taking a trip. They're going to Milwaukee. And on this trip, something, it was in the road. There was a metal pipe in the road of some nature. He was fearful of hitting it head on. He thought maybe that it would turn in the van. So he's thinking that maybe I ought to hit it head on. He felt like if he went sideways, it may get under the tires and flip the van. So he decided to hit it on. And he did. He hit it. And he heard it going underneath the van, but what he didn't even dream of, he never thought about it, was 6 youngest ones of his children, him and his wife, and 6 of the youngest out of 9, 6 of them in the vehicle. The baby was right behind him in a car seat. The wife was in the driver's seat, and the rest of the children were spread out throughout the van. That pipe hit the gas tank and exploded the gas tank. As he's trying to get his vehicle stopped, as he's looking in his mirror, and he sees his children engulfed in flames. He sees the baby behind him. He sees his clothes on fire while he's trying to stop this vehicle. Well, he pulled it over best he could. It ended up rolling a little bit, and this vehicle still in flames. And they get out the best they can, and with their own hands, and no one's saying a word, and they don't know how hurt anybody is or what's going on. There's no noise at all. They're not talking to each other. They're just responding out of just, you know, need. They're reaching into the flames, trying to get their children out of this fire and burning themselves as they're doing this. And finally, they just collapsed. And traffic stopped, and people came by, and they begin to, the wife's clothes herself was on fire from helping her children. And her hands and her arms were burnt from trying to help her children. And they put clothes and blankets on them and put the fire out on her. And the baby's clothes was on fire, and they put the fire out on the baby. The baby was the only one that was still alive out of all of the children in there. And the baby went to ICU and died just moments after it went into the hospital. Now, you know, that would be pretty hard in life to live with. And you may wonder, where was God during all that? And this family, the world did not know what to do with this family. The press came in, and they didn't know what. And you know, somehow, this family, through their agony, through their hurt, through their pain, through their loss, they claim Psalms 34:1, and really the chapter, which I'm not going to take some time to read the whole chapter, but give you an idea of what's in the psalm. This is the first verse. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. That was not an easy psalm to claim. That was not an easy verse to claim. But through that, God brought about great, unusual testimony through their hurt and through their pain that maintained to this day over their life. And so the Lord used that. Job lost he was going through a financial trial. He was going through a family trial. He was going through physical trials. And yet he maintained his integrity for God. What a testimony. This family maintained their testimony for God in that great trial. I'm just telling you that we're not... I'm trying to think of the word. You can catch a problem. Because we're saved does not mean that we have no difficulties. You know, there's people who preach because you're saved, you're going to be wealthy, you're going to be rich, you're going to have physical health. And if you have any health problems, it's because of lack of your own faith. I'd like to see somebody tell Job that. Matter of fact, they did, didn't they? You know, the three friends came along. Now, he's lost his sons, he's lost his daughters. His wife apparently is having nothing to do with him at this time. Now three friends come along and sat with him, and they were a comfort to him for 3 days when they said nothing. That was the best comfort they could be. Then they begin to open up, and they blame Job for everything. And now actually there was four friends. Three of them blamed Job for everything, and the fourth one said right, okay? We got to give credit for it. But at the end of the story, which we're not reading because of time, but at the end of the story, you know that while God had those three friends go to Job and ask him, he needs to pray for you. You guys are going to be in big trouble. That's Snow paraphrased edition. Your heads are going to roll, and it's not going to be Job's. And so God, as Job was praying for those friends, God blessed Job double what he had, and that's the triumph of Job. Boy, thank God for the triumph story, amen. Thank God that it was turned around. And go with me to Job chapter 42. Now, there's a lot of problems in Job's life. Most people believe this problem took place over a period of a year. In Job 42 and verse 10, it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity to Job." Hey, boy, I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to turn to captivity. Isn't it? I mean, a financial problem. How many of you, if you were in a huge financial problem, would be pretty happy to have it taken care of? I mean, would it make you say, amen? How about if you had total, by the way, I didn't even mention Job's health loss, did I? I'm just taking it for granted. You know how he had boils all over him? He was sitting there in ashes and scraping for relief, scraping the boils, and just so I can get a little gross on you, you know, pus oozing out. I mean, what did he look like? Boils all over him. I mean, you think a pimple's bad. You haven't had anything until you had a boil. Wow. A pimple isn't even considered a relative of a boil. Oh, well. So anyway, what Job must have looked like. I mean, he must have looked terrible. And yet, this man, God was in this story. And by the way, God didn't talk to Job until, I believe it was Job 38. Did God ever begin to talk to Job? And then Job cried out to God. He abhorred himself. In verse 10, it says, "The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." And I like this part. Verse 13. And by the way, he lists in verse 12, he lists what he did, how he doubled all those things. He goes back financially, goes back and replaces everything and gives him double what he had. But his children, you know what that means? In verse 13, he had also seven sons and three daughters. Yeah, I believe this is more. What does that mean? 10 of them are in heaven. And so could it be that he had 10 more children? That means that this lady had 20 children. That means they must have got together again. That means that probably the story lived happily ever after they lived. Is that fair enough? And so we may never know until glory, but that's my idea. Something happened there. God gave him double. And the reason he didn't give him 20 children all of a sudden right there is because he already had 10 in heaven. He didn't. They died, but they weren't gone. And so I believe that was the reason why God gave that number. How many of you ever thought about that in a trial, that God, in the midst of that trial, even though we're going through it, we have no reason that God could engineer something good out of it? Easier to say than to go through, isn't it? It's hard to say. How can God engineer something good? God engineered something great out of this disaster. Job learned some things. And Job acknowledged himself that he was vile. God, even though he went through this, Job was still refined more for the master's use by going through this trial. How many would admit that some things you're like a rock in, and it's going to take a hammer to change you? My hand's up. You're not going to change just by somebody, "Hey, stop that." You're going to change because you're going to get a speed bump on your head. And it's going to continue to grow and get knocked until it changes. Well, I think there's some things in life like that. And then there's other things, I hope we'd be like that just putty, just clay in the master's hand. All he has to do is form us and make us, and we are yielded and ready to go. Now that's the way that we should be, amen? But sometimes God takes us through trials in order to hammer away and to mold us and to fashion us into his image. Something in our life that he's going to bring that dross out through a trial, through a difficulty in life. I believe that Job received enlightenment. In a light, something he grew greater through this trial. I got to tell you, in my own life, I'm a better man. I'm a better Christian. I'm a better pastor because of trials. Do I like them? Are you kidding? Do you like a heart attack? But I'm telling you that it helps somehow. When I look behind, there's a tenderness that it leaves. It's either going to make us better or bitter. And we're all going to fight bitterness. You get victory over that thing, I'm telling you what, it can mold you in some way. It's going to help. It's going to strengthen. And God knows this. It enriches us. How many have heard of a Steinway piano? How many like to have one? How many like to have one at home? If you don't want it at home, get it and sell it. It's worth a lot. And Steinway is a fine piano. And, you know, I wanted to give you a little history of it real quick before we close. That they have made the same piano the same way for 150 years. Now, somebody must be doing something right. The same kind of piano goes through the same technology. And it, 150 years ago, they had the pianos had 12,000 parts that were required, and they're each handcrafted. Guess what today the piano is? 12,000 parts, each handcrafted, to produce one Steinway piano. The curves on a piano, as much like a Steinway, the curves on that piano, if it was a Steinway, there'd be 18 layers of wood that's pressed around that metal to form that design. The keys on a Steinway, each key is tested 10,000 times to ensure the quality and durability of a Steinway piano. What am I saying about Steinway? It's a fine, crafted piano. Can I hear an amen? But it comes about through a lot of adversity to bring out that piano. And I'm telling you that a Christian, that you look at it, you say, they're a fine man, they're a fine woman of God. Many times they have been crafted by the master craftsman. And sometimes parts need tested to see what they're made out of, make sure that it's going to be quality and endure time. God knows how to make us. God knows how to bless us. And God knows how much we can take on this world. You know, he said that he's always made a way of escape for us. It doesn't mean we take it. It just means it's there. May God give us the wisdom to live our life in the way that would be pleasing to him. How do you deal with problems? How do you deal with difficulties when they come your way? Can you say that you've learned through problems? How many tonight would say this with me? You're a better person because of problems. Can I see your hand? You know, we don't like them, and it's hard for us to understand. But I'm just telling you that without problems, you ever talk to somebody that really, they're a novice? They haven't had difficulties? Can they get kind of pious? Can they get kind of looking down on you? How about somebody, sometimes they have a child, and that child's just a perfect child. How many have had perfect children? That's me. I've always, you know, that was me in my house. You know, but, you know, you get a perfect child, and then that mother, you know, she say, you know, I don't know what these other mothers, I don't know why these other mothers have it so difficult. They're always, they're just not raising their kids right. Then God blesses them with another one. And all of a sudden, you see the same mother in the corner crying in tears and wondering, why won't they listen? And I remember this one guy telling me about the daughter, and I won't tell you, you know her. I won't tell you who it is. He said, we're tired of beating on her. We're tired of spanking her and correcting her. One, no problem. The other one, that's a nightmare. She acts like her mom. You know, and just, just God has a sense of humor, I guess. But there's a molding process. Now that mother, when somebody else comes up to her and says that she's having a problem and difficulty with her child, she has a whole different heart for a mother that's struggling. She had to go through some trials. She had to go through some struggles to develop that heart for somebody else that's having some difficulties. You know, health problems. I can remember years and years and years and years ago, 30-some years ago, I can remember talking to a lady who was in the hospital in 1 year. She said, I've been in and out of the hospital 96 times. I left her thinking 96 times. She's a fanatic. What do they call them? She's a hypochondriac if I've ever seen one. You know, and she's on my bus route. And 96 times. Well, guess what? You know, I was on that route for 3 years. Actually, 5 years was on that route. And you know what? I cannot tell you how many times I was in the hospital. I give you witness, that lady was in and out of the hospital sometimes hundreds of times. She might as well just check in and live there. I'm not exaggerating. The tray in her house, I remember her bringing the tray. I'm talking about a big tray of that you put food on, sandwiches. You know what I'm talking about? Those big trays, silver trays. She had a tray like that sitting in the house, completely filled with medicines. Now I'm old and I understand the medicine thing. How in the world would you ever know what you took? I mean, that would be a nightmare itself. Did you take that? Did you take it today? Yesterday? I did take it when? Sometime. Count the pills. You know, and I can't imagine an elderly lady that the doctors give her a tray that big and expect her to keep track of that and how that, you know, but that was what they, that's what she was on. She was on all that stuff. I'm just saying, I wouldn't want to have to be on that medicine to relate to that lady's pain and difficulty that she has in life. Are you following me? But I'll bet you when she's in the hospital, I'll bet she's tender with other people. She was a very sweet lady, very, very kind lady through all that problems and difficulties. You and I are not through with difficulties. I don't know what all is going to happen here on this earth before the Christ comes. But God's never promised us that the church isn't going to get a little trial and a little tribulation, a little difficulty before He comes and takes us out of this thing. And I believe that we live in a dark day. I believe we live in a post-Christian America. This thing is changing fast. We're not far from the day that the world's going to become very hostile, maybe even accuses criminal activity just by believing the Bible, going by the Bible. And I don't know what we may go through, but if we end up in jail and our congregation meets in jail, somehow I want to have the testimony of Paul and Silas in jail. What'd they do? They sang praises unto God at midnight. You know, and they lifted up their voice together, and that touched the jail. The jailer got saved because somebody was living for God in a difficulty. By the way, that jailer that got saved could have been, we don't know, he could have been the jailer that beat them that day and thrusted them into that prison, to that cell. It could have been the very same jailer, and now you see a testimony that he sees with them, and you see that they're not vindictive against him. He took them home that night, fed them, wiped their wounds from back. I have a feeling this. I have a feeling that man got right with God. If he put those wounds on their back, I believe he wiped those wounds with tears in his eyes. He knew he put them then on people now who he loves. He put those wounds on them. You know, we've done that with Christ with our sin, haven't we? Our sins put Christ to the cross. And I hope that we would trust Him through something that maybe we can't always just explain. You can't put your hand on it. You can't just push a button and fix a problem. I don't know what we'll go through in life. But I'm glad that in this situation, the devil could put his hand. God chooses to put a hedge about us. The devil's not going to do anything. But if God removes it and allows certain things, it might be financial difficulty. It might be physical difficulties. But thank God He can't get it on the inside of us. And we got a great God. I hope that we could trust Him through a problem that we can't explain. That He'll use that somehow to help us and to launch us even to be a greater child of God. Stand with me, please.